The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When I was serving in my last call at Holden Village, one of the really great things, as I think I've mentioned before, about being there was that you got to hear all these really wonderful speakers and storytellers come up and teach for maybe a week or two at a time about their work. And one of these who came up was a man named Chris. And Chris works just north of Seattle in the Skagit Valley of Washington State. And Chris is not a pastor, or he was not at the time an ordained pastor or minister or commissioned by any particular body or denomination of the church. But Chris decided that he wanted to go and do prison ministry there in the Skagit Valley. And so he was especially interested in prison ministry among gang members. But he learned very quickly that he was dissatisfied with the method of ministry that most chaplains or pastors would use when they entered prison. Some chaplains, some pastors, and it's kind of a dominant way of doing it, but they would get in and they would attempt to convert prisoners, right? They would attempt, like the idea is, you've done wrong, now convert, come to Jesus, all will be well, and we'll send you on your way. And Chris thought, no, that's not really what I'm interested in here. And so his method, his idea, was to help them convert not themselves, but the time actually that they were spending in jail from time served, you know, time owed to the community or time owed to the state into holy time. And Chris kind of thought, well, who do these men have most in common with? And he realized, oh, they have a lot in common with monastic communities, right? You know, lots of solitary time, especially if you're an especially violent criminal, you have a lot of time alone in a small cell, right? Limited connectivity, limited outside contact. And Chris thought, oh man, these guys are just like these monastics who live their lives in silence and prayer. And so Chris set about converting not the people, but converting their experience from time served into holy time. Time filled not with waiting or anger, but filled with prayer and silence. And the results, as we got to hear up at Holden, were incredible. He watched year after year as these gang members left jail as quiet and prayerful as any monk he'd ever met. We're 5 months now, 5 months into this pandemic. Yesterday was the first time we worshiped, even a small group of us in person, for 5 months, almost exactly. And for most of us, we've never experienced anything like this in our lives. None of us expected that 5 months into this pandemic, we would still find ourselves living under stay-at-home orders or quarantine, and that we're starting to feel like some of us are starting to feel like prisoners in our own homes, even if things have loosened up, even if we know that staying at home is the right thing to do, we know in our bones that we're nowhere near normal. And many of us, if we're listening to epidemiologists, many of us are learning that we won't be expecting it to return to normal anytime soon. That the ramifications of this pandemic in our day-to-day lives may last another 5 months, maybe longer. And for some of us, if you're like me, that gives me the chills. It makes me want to give up. And this is right where we find Elijah today, the prophet. He's ready to give up. In fact, he has said as much. He wants to give up. We don't find this in the reading, but it's just before the reading that we heard from Kings. Elijah has decided he's done being God's prophet. And he goes to this place and he lays down. And the idea is that he's giving up and he's just ready to die, in fact. So he goes to sleep on the floor. And an angel of God comes and kind of kicks him and says, Elijah, get up and eat. Here is bread, here is water. And Elijah, who has been hunted by Jezebel and Ahab, who seek his life for a number of reasons, but if you know Ahab and Jezebel, they're not likable characters in the Old Testament. They're some of the most evil characters, and they're after him. And so Elijah kind of gets up, and he's alone, and he eats, and he drinks, and he goes back to sleep, and he's ready still to die. And then the angel comes again and says, Elijah, get up. Get up, eat, drink, or the journey will be too much for you. And this is where we find him today. He's just journeyed. He's just sort of resisted this, but he decided he's going to go journey, and this is where we find him today. And he's back asleep, and an angel comes and says, Elijah, get up, for God is about to pass by. And he goes to the mouth of this cave, and suddenly there is this fire, but God is not in the fire. There is this wind that splits the rocks and the trees, and God is not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake that comes, and God is not in the earthquake. And then the sound of sheer silence. It's hard to say what is more frightening, the chaos of the earthquake and fire and wind, for the silence. To understand how our gospel reading factors into this today, you have to understand that in the mind of Jewish listeners hearing Matthew's gospel for the first time, it is water, not the earthquakes, not wind or fire, but water that's really the ultimate embodiment of chaos, right? We got to go back to Genesis to understand this, right? When God creates, God separates the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. God makes a safe place for human beings to live and all creation in the middle. And then later in Genesis, we hear that the heavens open up, right? And there's this chaos that comes, and we get Noah and the flood. That's how that happens. But in Genesis, water is always just an arm's length away. We're almost that close. We're always that close to the chaos that is just being kind of kept at bay. So this is the symbolism of water in the Hebrew scriptural imagination, that it is chaos. So that when Peter, who's this really good Jewish boy, when Peter tries to walk on the water, no wonder he sinks like a stone. Not only is his name Peter, so good luck, pal, which means rock, which means so he's gonna sink like a rock, as rocks do when they meet water. But he's trying to walk on chaos in the middle of a chaotic storm when the heavens have been ripped open and the waters are coming down. It's not gonna happen. And I have to wonder how many of us might identify with Peter today, right? That we try to match the chaos of this moment in history right? When we don't know how much longer we're going to be set in these prison cells, set amid this chaos, but we try to fight chaos with chaos, right? We turn on the TV hoping that the next news cycle will give us that piece of information that'll finally just set us free from this, or that we'd read social media posts that would finally make us feel better, or that we would connect with somebody by phone and some of that loneliness brought on by isolation would evaporate. That's Peter trying to walk on the water, fighting chaos with more chaos. No matter how hard we try, without God, without Jesus, that will always swallow us whole. We will always find ourselves sinking like a rock. There's that popular saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, you know, that's a nice idea, but I don't feel stronger in the midst of this chaos and this pandemic. Day in and day out, I feel like I'm sinking. I feel like I'm swallowed up. And I've heard that from a lot of people. And yet into the middle of this chaos, into the storms, the winds, the fires, the earthquakes, even a pandemic here, we find Jesus walking towards us over the top of it, reaching for our hand as we sink down further. We hear God's voice in this quiet place saying, get up. There is a journey ahead, but get up. Eat, or the journey will be too much. Many of our members who are old Navy sailors might know the name Admiral James Stockdale. Stockdale was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam for 7.5 years after his plane was shot down behind enemy lines. And they were very brutal years, and many of those who were with him died. And Stockdale, when he was home safely, was asked about this experience and asked about what it meant to survive for 7.5 years, these years of chaos and prison and brutality. And he said famously, I mean no disrespect, but it's the optimists in prison that you have to watch out for. It's the optimists who fare the worst. That he watched as time and time again, as people who hoped that, hey, we'll be out of this by Christmas. Hey, we'll be out of this by Easter. Hey, we'll be out of this by Thanksgiving, right? As these men lived into this optimism, Christmas would come around again and they wouldn't be released. And then Easter would come around again and they wouldn't be released. And these men ended up dying of a broken heart. Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. Today, this feast that's been set before us in bread and wine and blessing, the thing that we're receiving in this is not optimism. The thing that we're receiving, the thing that's being converted, is hope. We receive Jesus. We receive the very body of the one who reaches into the chaos and pulls us back into life with a breath of peace, who calms the storm, who comes to us in the sound of sheer silence. We receive the strength to convert our homes, these prison walls, these quarantine walls, into prayer-soaked monasteries, that we might be converted into the hope of Jesus, that we might receive life for the journey ahead. And so, dear people of God, today, get up and eat. Live into the blessing of God's hope, or else the journey will be too much. And whether you're feasting with us by way of bread or blessing, we are one body, and the hope of Jesus for the journey ahead is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.